Tonight we're going to continue this study on healing and finish what we started this morning. I'll do a little bit of review because I know that some people may not have heard the message this morning. What I've discovered over the years is that when you teach a series, some folks, they just hop, skip, and jump through the series based on, oh, that's an interesting title, and listen to that one. And so I know that a lot of people, they just don't, you know, follow series protocol and listen to sermon number one and sermon number two. So anyway, I will be reading some things to you tonight that I read this morning. And the whole aspect of healing, it either is or isn't for today. Well, based upon what we've seen in God's Word, His will is for our bodies to be healed. The power of His Word can produce healing in our bodies. The power of His Word and the Word of His power is what brought this entire universe into existence. So therefore, it has the ability, the inherent ability, to alter things in the natural. For some people, some Christians, this might sound very science fiction, but it's reality. That's just the way it is. Concerning what we were looking at here this morning, I'm going to reread some things just for emphasis, because, you know, in this series on healing, and, technically, well, it really wasn't supposed to be a series. It just has kind of turned out that way. There are a lot of things that the Lord has had me share that I haven't heard taught before when it comes to healing. Now, that doesn't mean it hasn't been taught. It just means that I haven't heard it. It doesn't mean that this is new revelation. It just means that I haven't heard healing taught the way that healing is being taught in these messages. Now, some of what we've heard in the past. I understand that. But let me just go ahead and read these. Believing God can heal does not make you well. You must believe He wants you healed and then receive what God can do. So a lot of people believe that God can heal, but that alone does not produce the healing in your body. You have to act on what you believe. Sickness, affliction, disease, injury, etc. are not instruments of instruction or correction imposed on people by God. They are all forms of bondage that impair the individual from functioning in this world the way God originally intended. Likewise, sickness, affliction, disease, injury, and so on are not the cross a Christian must bear in this life. The cross of believers is the battle with the flesh to completely sell out to Jesus. And a lot of people talk about, some people actually, it's almost like they're proud of a physical condition that that is not normal. And you have to, you got to kind of watch this, because in our society today, we've come to the place of really being brainwashed into thinking that you're normal no matter what. Well, no, normal is established by the Word of God. Normal is not established by society. So therefore, when I know that God created human beings to have functional bodies, and these bodies were supposed to be complete, that means that any kind of defect in the body, whether by birth or some sickness or injury along the way, that is not normal. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Jesus went around healing people who had those conditions. And some of these people had conditions from birth, and Jesus healed them. And praise God for it. Well, that should clue us in that God wants us healed from those conditions, from those abnormalities. And even the existence of a corrupt body is abnormal compared to Genesis 1 and 2. God's going to fix that. The day's coming, we're going to receive a glorified body. And won't that be interesting? You know, what's it going to act like? What will it be like? I don't know. But I know this, it'll be perfect, okay? So I'm not too concerned about, gee whiz, am I going to like it? Yeah, I think I'm going to like my glorified body. I think you're going to like yours too. The mind is naturally programmed to reject the truth of God's word. And again, this is part of the reason why it says over there in Romans chapter 12 to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind is naturally programmed to reject the truth of God's word. This is why we have a tendency to doubt the validity of our confession of God's word. We must force feed our spirit the word of God so that the power of God's truth in our spirit is greater than the power of our naturally programmed mind. This is true whether we are believing for healing for ourselves or for someone else. We are more accustomed to people praying for us to be healed than we are having people declare our healing, as did Jesus. And you know, one of the things that we can do is declare our own healing. Just call ourselves healed. You know, yeah, you know, here's a condition, whatever it would be. You know, condition in the name of Jesus, I say you're no longer a part of my body. You have no authority over my body, so on and so forth. Declare it, just like Jesus. If we're supposed to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, that means he is the pattern we're supposed to follow. That means we're supposed to do like he did. Whether it's for healing, casting out devils, doesn't matter. Whatever we see in the life of Jesus, this is the pattern we're supposed to follow. God's word about healing is God looking beyond the now of our affliction and seeing a manifested healing in our body. Because if you've got a problem in your body, it exists in the here and now. And yet, God's looking beyond that. If you were to ask God, what's the condition of my body right now? He's not going to lie and say there's nothing wrong with your body. If you press the issue, he'll say, okay, right at this moment, yeah, you have, you know, whatever. But that's not my intention for you. I am looking at your body beyond this thing, and I'm seeing you healed. You need to come into agreement with me. So confessing, or God's word about healing, is God looking beyond the now of our affliction and seeing a manifested healing in our body. Confessing Scripture for healing is coming into agreement with God concerning what He sees and desires. If our body is presently sick, afflicted, or injured, healing is not yet a present tense reality in our body. Thus, in an abstract way, it could be said that confessing God's word for healing is reaching into the future and bringing healing into the present. Confessing God's word about healing is not denying the literal, actual existence of a negative physical condition. Sickness, affliction, disease, injury, etc. are very real, and they exist in great abundance in this fallen world. Every single human will eventually be personally touched to some degree by these things. Confessing the Word of God is the application of supernatural power that can change a natural condition. So even people that, you know, say, well, they never had a cold in their life. 92 years old, never had a sick day in their life. Now, that's not true. At some point in time, something happened. Something, I don't care if you stubbed your toe in the middle of the night, it hurt. And it might have, you know, gotten a little swollen or something. Okay, well, it didn't last forever, but there was an injury. Something happened. It's not normal to have a swollen toe. So everybody, no matter who you are, no matter how healthy you are, we are going to encounter some kind of injury, sickness, affliction, so on, and some people more than others. The human body has a built-in program that fights every form of sickness and injury to produce healing. However, some sicknesses and injuries exceed the body's ability to produce healing. In those situations, people who say they're believing God for their healing but never or rarely ever pray or confess Scripture over their body or never go to the doctor will most likely never get healed. If you're not going to pray and confess Scripture over your body, at least go to a doctor. At least go to a doctor. And there's nothing wrong with going to doctors. Now, this kind of leads us up to where we finished this morning. We're going to carry on here. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Now remember, God's word is the foundation for everything. Absolutely everything. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. So, when it comes to healing, God's word has to be the foundation for what I'm believing and the foundation for everything I'm hoping to see take place. So in Mark chapter 4, we're going to pick this up in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. Now Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And now, a lot of people might say, well, you know, that means the word's in red. And I understand what they're saying. But literally, everything contained in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, if all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that means the entire Bible is living. It is the life of God. It is spirit and it is life. We just have it recorded in you know, ink on paper. So the sower soweth the word. Well, another way that we could say that and be accurate is the sower soweth life. The sower soweth life. Now, he says the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Choke life, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, let's think here in terms of this whole concept of sowing. And I want you to think about it in the natural. Sowing the word is like a farmer who is, he wants a crop of something. Doesn't matter what it is. I mean, it could be soybeans, it could be corn, it could be beets, just whatever the farmer wants. He wants a crop of this particular thing. Now, let's say he has a one-acre field. A one-acre field cannot produce 1 acre of corn if the farmer has only sown one row down that acre. That's it. That's all it can do. I mean, you're not going to get an acre if you don't sow the entire acre. All you'll get is one row. If he wants an entire acre of corn, you know what he has to do? He has to sow an entire acre of corn. Well, now see, that concept is true for us, and we're focusing on healing here in this teaching. But it's anything, whether anything at all that we see in the Word of God, whether it's healing or wisdom or finances or just anything that we see in the Word. If we want an acre of healing, then you know what? We're going to have to plant more than one row of Word. Now, that's just all there is to it. And a lot of people have fussed about the whole thing of, confession. Well, you know, I tried that for a couple of days. And nothing happened. Well, something choked it off. Something, you know, you heard about confession, and so you tried it. You received it with joy, or, you know, however it says in here. But then something came along and choked it off. Well, you know what? When a farmer plants corn in a field, he knows that he can't go back in 2 weeks and start plucking the ears of corn off the plants. He knows it's going to take an entire season of growing. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. We sow the Word in us. We have to give it time to begin to produce. Now, here in verses 14 through 20, he says that, you know, they sow the Word. And in verse 15, talks about, you know, well, people heard it, but Satan came to take it away. In verse 16, they heard it, and it says they received it with gladness, but they had no root in themselves. Now, One of the things that you could say as far as having no root, they had no endurance in themselves. They had no endurance for themselves, in themselves. And for a time, everything seemed to be okay. Well, I confessed for a week. I confessed for 2 weeks. But affliction or persecution arose for the word's sake. Now, this affliction and persecution, let's think of it a different way. Don't think of it in terms of you were attacked by people, affliction and persecution. Think of it like this. The attack came in the way of distractions. The affliction, the persecutions were distractions for the word's sake, to get you away from the confessing. And then we have these other folks here. They heard, says here, they hear it, but the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, entering in. Now I want you to think here, these people heard the word, did they not? So the word, if you will, was sown in them. What was on the outside? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. All of that was on the outside. However, this person allowed those things to do what? Enter in. Every single one of us are in this position. Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. That's not simply a matter of I got to have more. That's just simple. Say it like this. It's worrying about money. All right? That's one way to look at it. Those things face all of us in some way, shape, or form. But they're on the outside. If we begin to internalize those things, and you know what I'm talking about, worry, fret, fear, all that kind of stuff, it says right here what's going to happen. It's going to choke the word. Because the word is in there, and the word is working, but then they let all these things enter in. And those things, they allow more of that stuff to enter in than the word, and it chokes off the word. And so the word cannot produce. But in all of these situations, there is nothing about any of these people indicating they did not hear. Every single one of them heard. No exception, every single one of them. What I have observed is that a lot of Christians who have heard automatically seem to think that this qualifies them to receive everything God has promised. Man, I heard a good sermon. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, well, that confession, yep, got to do that. They've heard it. And now that they've heard it, it's almost like they think that they are these super giants of faith and everything's supposed to just happen. But you know what? Over in James chapter 1, verse 23, it talks about you can't just be a hearer of the word. You have to be a doer. Because if all you are is a hearer, it ain't going to happen. You have to be a doer as well as a hearer. Now leave your finger here in Mark and turn over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. The same story is here about the parable of the sower, but we're just going to look at one verse, and it's verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. See that? Now, you can pinch the pages together between Mark 4 and Luke 8 if you want to. But what I'm going to do is read to you Mark 4:20 and Luke 8:15 combined. And these are they which are sown on good ground, which in an honest and good heart hear the word, receive it, keep it, and with patience bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So you have to hear, and then after you hear, you've got to receive it, See, a lot of people hear, but they don't receive. Then you have to keep it, which means, you know, you're going to have to maintain it. Then you're going to have patience. When you do all of that, you'll bring forth fruit. Now, relative to healing, you hear the word of healing, you receive it, keep it with patience, you bring forth the fruit of the healing. But notice all of this starts in an honest and good heart. An honest and good heart. Well, we could say this in a number of different ways, but one of the things that I want to point out is a teachable heart. An honest and a good heart is a teachable heart. And there are a lot of Christians, I'm telling you right now, they could hear all of what I've taught on healing so far, they're still going to refute it. Still going to refute it. There are Christians, you can show them exactly what is in the Word of God, they're still not going to go along with it, still not going to accept it. Well, yes, but you know, if it's God's will. Well, what is it about the Word of God that makes you think it's not His will? Well, you just don't know. I mean, you know, nobody's God. Nobody, and they just, you know, go on and on with that kind of stuff. Well, you know what? It is God's will. Just because it hasn't manifested healing, just because it hasn't manifested, doesn't mean it isn't God's will. It just means something is hindering the manifestation. And that goes back to unbelief. So here we see that we have to start out with good ground, or a good and an honest heart. We have to be willing to admit to our own shortcomings when it comes to faith and or unbelief, however you want to phrase it. If I'm not seeing the results, the problem's not with God and His Word, because His Word is a constant. I'm the one that has to change. I'm the one that has to make the adjustments. And He talks about this patience. That means you have to keep doing, you have to keep doing, you have to keep doing, or you're not going to see the harvest of the 30, 60, or the 100-fold. Now, in verse 14, He said, "The sower soweth the word," of Mark chapter 4. Then if you look in verse 26, He said, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground." So we're still talking about the sower sowing the word. "And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Well, think of it this way. The sower sows the word. Now, where is that word being sown? For me as a believer, it's being sown in my heart, in my spirit. Well, in verse 26, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed," or sow the word, "into his spirit, and should sleep and rise night and day." Now remember, we're talking about, the assumption here is, it's a person with an honest and good heart who is going through the whole process of hearing, receiving, keeping, and having the patience. "And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how." He knoweth not how. That describes us as Christians, all believers. We simply do not know how faith grows in our spirit by virtue of the Word. We can't explain it, but the Word says it happens. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God, and something begins growing on the inside of our spirit. But we can't explain it. And this is why a lot of people, I have to fight getting aggravated with these people. "Well, I'm sorry, but I just don't agree with that." Why not? What is it about God's Word that has been so offensive to you that you don't want to agree with this? What is it about this principle that God has given to us that you say is not good, doesn't work, is ineffective? But what are you going to do instead? What have you found that is better? What have you found that's more effective? Well, you haven't found anything. So don't even try to tell me you found something better, because you didn't. And so I don't know how this works. But in my spirit, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, the blade, the ear, the full corn. My spirit of itself, without the help of my flesh, without the help of my mental reasoning, my spirit and the word sown into my spirit work together and begin to produce, as he puts it here, the blade, the ear, and the full corn. So since I'm talking about healing, it begins to produce, say it this way, the faith, the blade of faith, the ear of faith, and then the ear of corn, if you will, of faith, of my healing, of what I need. Because he says, when that fruit is brought forth, when that full corn is in the ear, then immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So immediately, what do? I receive the manifestation of the healing in my body. Or I receive what is necessary to minister healing to other people. Either way, it starts with the word. There's no way to get around it. So the foundation is still the word, and I'm still supposed to sow it in. But here's this patience aspect again. You have to wait for the season. Now, the more you sow, the more you're diligent about this, and the more that you endure, you can shorten your growing season. And you know, today, they can shorten the growing season of a lot of crops depending upon, like, the greenhouses and things like that they do. They can shorten the growing season for all kinds of things. That's why now you can get certain types of fresh fruit or fresh vegetables that used to you couldn't. Because in some places they're growing them and they don't depend on what's on the outside. They do it on the inside. And then it says in verse 30, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like the grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So here we see another analogy very briefly. I sow the mustard seed and the mustard seed grows. And eventually it grows so big that it overshadows all my sickness. You understand the analogy here? The mustard seed, my faith, grows to the point where it overshadows my physical afflictions. And healing begins to lodge in my branches. Now that may be kind of a silly way for an analysis or you know, comparison, but the imagery here, he's trying to get something across to us. But now notice here in verse 23, it says, now this is Jesus talking, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, this is all inclusive for all of us. Every single person, all believers, this is us. The question is, do we have ears to hear? It's not just ears to hear the word, because everybody sits in a sermon like this. Everybody that's going to hear these messages, they're hearing it. He's talking about if you have ears to hear this entire principle being laid out before you. Are you going to receive it? Are you going to grab a hold of it? And are you going to apply it to your life? Now, we read this morning, and we won't go back and read all these verses again, but I'll make reference to them. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, we read that because we put our faith in Jesus Christ to be born again, we have been brought into His kingdom. And as we learned, Jesus is the King of the kingdom. Every kingdom has a king, and Jesus is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Saw that over in Revelation. Then we saw in Revelation 1:6 and in Ephesians 1:19 through 23 and 2:4 through 6 that God has given us a position of kingship within the kingdom. Now, we're not the King of Kings. Jesus is the King of Kings. We're the kings, plural, over whom He reigns. So He is the King of Kings and we are the kings. But God has given us this position of authority and kingship within the kingdom and within the word of the kingdom. Our authority to use His word, the word of the kingdom, has been given unto us. We're seated with Him in heavenly places. We are, figuratively speaking, sitting on the throne of royalty. That's us. We, listen to this now, are in charge. We're in charge. Listen closely. Some people need to hear this part. God is not in control of your body. Now, if you want to mess it up, you can mess it up. Born again is a spiritual condition, not a physical condition. If you want to mess up your body, die young, it's up to you. God will welcome you home. He might look at you and say, you realize you're here about 30 years too early. God is not in control of your body, but He has given to us that which will impact our bodies, which is the Word. He's given us His Word. By use of His Word, we are able to change physical conditions. Now, this sounds, for some people, maybe real science fiction out there. You telling me that all I have to do is confess the Word of God and I can make things change in my body? Well, is there something in Scripture you've seen that says that can't happen? Is there? The Bible talks about that Jesus, with His Word, healed everybody. He laid hands on the sick, and they recovered. He spoke, dead people rose. Now that's really a major change in a person's condition, wouldn't you say? And you're saying that we can't do that. Here's a problem. We don't see ourselves doing that. And we question that. It just sounds weird, Brother Martin. I mean, just the thought of looking at some dead person and saying, come to life. And then they come back to life. That's kind of out there. No, it's not. Not if I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Here's one for you. Who should be raised from the dead first? The Christian or the lost person? I know somebody hearing this is, I don't know, man. The lost person. They need every chance possible, man, to get saved and not go to hell. Now, the Christians, granted, we want to raise them as well. But, when you raise a Christian from the dead, just be ready for a little bit of rebuke. Do you have any idea where I was? Do you know? I was talking to Jesus. I was sipping a heavenly latte. And then you raised me from the dead. Boy, are you going to pay for this. But you guys understand what I'm talking about. Raise them all. I mean, lost or saved, okay? But how many lost people could have been raised from the dead and haven't been in the last 2,000 years because we're not where we're supposed to be as believers? Now, that's a pretty heavy thing to think about. But the reality is there. All those people that Jesus raised from the dead, think about it. If they died in unbelief or in rebellion to God or whatever the case would be, they now had another chance to make it right. I can tell you one person who wishes he was raised from the dead. Remember the fellow that died? Lazarus sat at his gate and this guy ended up in hell. Remember that? Yeah. I'm pretty sure that man would like to have been raised from the dead and given another chance. But here we are. We, as God's children, we've been given this position of authority in the kingdom. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we found out that the power of the kingdom is released through words, specifically declaring the word of God. Now, it's not necessarily a matter of simply quoting Scripture. It's declaring the truth of God. You understand what I mean? So when I'm praying for people and I say, I call your healing a manifested reality. Well, those words can't be found in Scripture, but it lines up with the truth that God has given to us in Scripture. So what I'm doing, I am in agreement with God for healing in that person's body. What else would I say? I hope your healing manifests, lady. What kind of a chintzy prayer is that? Come on. You know, I'm going to call you healed. I want to call you healed.
Yes, but what if it doesn't happen?
Well, at least somebody tried. You know, cut me some slack here. But what if it does happen? Oh, you'll be thanking me then.
Oh, this is great. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, give the praise and glory unto Jesus.
Yeah, but you're the one that said it.
You're the one that... Do you realize... Think about this. If Jesus Christ Himself were confessing over your body right now, your healing would manifest. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Did it ever fail in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Not one time. What does that mean? Now, what I'm getting ready to say, don't throw anything at me. What it means is this. Where He is right now, He is not speaking over our bodies the way He did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He has passed that authority on to us because we are here and He is there.
Well, now, Brother Martin, I just don't know if I agree with that.
Hey, if He were confessing over your body now, you don't think your healing would have manifested, you know, 40 days ago, a year ago, whenever the affliction started? You don't think He would have done, if He were the one confessing, you don't think that healing would have manifested? See, these are the kind of things people don't sit around and think about. This authority, this ability to minister healing has been given to us. And we're the ones who are supposed to be speaking these things, the Word of God, declaring truth of healing over people and laying hands on the sick and seeing healing manifest in people's bodies. It's not that far out. Now, lest somebody hear this message and think, well, he must think he's Mr. No, I don't. I fully admit I do not have a 100% track record, meaning everybody I prayed for, spoken over, not 100% of them have received a manifestation of healing. I admit it. But that does not diminish my potential. It doesn't take away from what I could be doing if I will apply what we've just learned here about so or so with the Word and so forth and all the prayer and everything. If I keep doing this, I'm going to get more and more results, and so will you. Now, when we confess the Word of God for healing or anything else, you realize what it is? Think about this. We are living in this world in a corrupted body, okay? But our position spiritually is in the kingdom. So our spirit, this is really out there, far out. Our spirit is in the kingdom, but our flesh body is in the fallen world. But our spirit, being in the kingdom, is supposed to have dominance over our flesh body. Meaning nothing about our flesh, however you want to define that, should hinder our ability to receive healing or minister healing to other people. But look at Jesus. Hey, listen, Jesus didn't have a glorified body when he was here on earth. You know that, right? Some people, they act like He did. Glorified bodies don't get hungry. Do you know what hunger is? It's a warning you're headed towards starvation. I mean, that's what it is. I don't care if you had, you know, a massive breakfast this morning and, you know, later on in the day you start feeling a little hungry, you know, grumble, grumble, growly tummy. You know, what's that? That's a signal, hey, I want to eat again. Okay, come on. You need to get some more food. You need to get some more food. Put it in. Why? Because if you don't, it's just going to be a matter of time. Don't know how long, but it'll just be a matter of time. You'll die from starvation. So Jesus, He was hungry. Jesus got tired. Jesus got thirsty. All those things. Jesus, His hair grew. So I'm guessing somewhere along the line He got a haircut, you know, trimmed up a little bit, you know, took a little off the top there. However it was, however they did it back then. Jesus had a body, a flesh body. His flesh body did not come to him from God. He was made of a woman. That's what Scripture says. His body was as human as yours and mine. Some people get mad when you say that, but that's the way it is. Scripture reveals it. His body was as human as yours and mine, but his spirit was of the Father. Well, so are we. Our spirit is of the Father. The flesh is of the world, but our spirit is of God. So here we are, spiritually. I'm in the kingdom. And God says, you're not just in the kingdom. You are a king in the kingdom. Now, Jesus is the King of Kings, but you're a king in the kingdom. And positionally, I know you're down there on earth, but positionally, my decree over you is that you're seated here with Jesus, here on his throne, big throne. You're all up here. You're seated here. Now, what that means is you are to operate as a royal priesthood. That's what it says over in Peter. You are to operate as someone who is a king. Now, if all things have been placed under the feet of Jesus, then all things are subject to him, right? What do you call the citizens of a kingdom? The subjects, right? Because the king is in charge, and if the king says this, then it's this. If the king says that, then it's that. That's the way it is. He's the king. We are the body of Christ. We are the kings to the king. And we are supposed to be operating from that position. If everything is under the feet of Jesus, then everything is under us, meaning subject to us, according to the standards of God's word and the principles or laws of the kingdom. Now, when I begin to speak or confess the word of God, when we do this, call it for healing or anything else, but when we begin to confess the word of God for healing, it is a royal decree carrying the weight of God's appointed purpose. And as far as God is concerned, it is supposed to come to pass because a king in the kingdom has spoken. It's supposed to come to pass. It's not supposed to drop off into the sea. You understand what I mean by that? It's supposed to come to pass. That's God's position. That is how God sees all of this. So then, when I speak the word of God, what is it that's keeping it from coming to pass? Because I'm mixing my seed. There's some unbelief. I've tainted seed. I've tainted it with my unbelief. And that's why I've got to continue to get into the Word of God, because, look, let's be honest now. When we have done a lot of our confessing about things, every now and then, haven't we like been driving home or whatever later on and really questioned if it was going to happen? Serious. I've been there, and so have you. I'll just admit it for you. So have you. We've all been there. Do you think that ever happened with Jesus? No. When he spoke, he knew it's going to happen. That's why he was guarded about what he said. That's why when he was on trial, he didn't open his mouth. Because if he'd have opened his mouth and started defending himself, the power... Hey, when they came to arrest him, and he says, who are you looking for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus. And he says, I am. Boom, down they went. He knew he had to keep his mouth shut during his trial, or there was a whole army of angels standing by with their weapons. Just say the word. Just say the word. We are here under your authority. Just say the word. And these guys will be no more. We'll take them out. We'll get you out of this mess. He didn't say a word. Now, in my imagination, I can just see some of those angels. Why doesn't he say something? I mean, he knows there's 12 legions of us here. We can step in and help him. What is wrong? What? They're going to kill him. Do they not know what they're doing? Right about then, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, I guess they don't. He guarded his mouth because he knew, if I say something out of order, things are going to change. We can't have that. That's the way it's supposed to be for us. And the reason it's not happening is, you know, when Jesus or when James was writing about, you know, you have not because you ask God, and you ask amiss to consume it on your own lust. All right, think of it like this. We confess out of order all too often to consume it upon our will and not the Father's. And this is one of the reasons why, just one of the reasons why, when we speak, things don't come to pass. They're supposed to. Now, this is a challenge to us, but it shouldn't be. Because when we begin to comprehend our position in Christ as kings, and that this fallen world is under our authority, I mean, God said so. Let him have dominion over the work of my hands. God said that. When we come to the place of beginning to understand that, then we're going to realize that when I speak healing, you know, you're going to be healed. And think of it like this. You walk into a hospital room. There's somebody in that bed. I mean, they're going to die. If something does, doctors can't do anything. If some kind of miracle doesn't happen, they're going to die. You walk in and you look at them and you say something like, all right, now look. God sent me here for a purpose. But before I do anything, I need to find out. When you walk out of this hospital healed and made whole, what are you going to do the rest of your life? Oh, well, I'll go to church and I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. Because when I speak, your healing is going to manifest. And one thing you better know is this. God Almighty is the one doing this. His power is flowing through me and it's going to happen. And he's going to tell me exactly what to say here in just a moment, and I'm going to say it. Because I follow the pattern of my Savior Jesus Christ. When you get raised up out of that bed, you better remember who healed you, because healing doesn't guarantee salvation. You're still headed for hell. So you remember that. You hear me? Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed and made whole. And within the next hour, completely restored. Doctors and nurses are going crazy. Hospital lawyers are preparing to sue you. Practicing medicine without a license. What did you give him? What did you give him? The Word of God. Okay, yeah, but what did you really give him? You understand what I'm saying? That's the kind of confidence that Jesus had. That's where we can be. That is our potential. That's what all this sowing the word into us is about. Changing our perception. Changing our understanding of this whole thing of healing. The primary goal in all of this, sowing the word, confessing the word, and so forth, is unbelief. That's the primary goal. However, consistency is the key when it comes to confession. Some people can say, "Yeah, but I don't have it. I don't have 8 hours a day to confess the word." Who does? You know what I mean? Well, Brother Martin, you're full time in ministry. I know. But generally speaking, who does? Right? Who does? All right. Think of it like this. Maybe you can't give 8 hours a day of confession. But let's ask, how bad do we want the healing? How bad do we want it? And what can you do? What can you confess? How long can you confess? How much can you confess? How much can you speak? Because see, every time you're speaking the word and the will of God, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So not only are you confessing concerning the healing, but you're also dealing with unbelief. And faith is coming. What can you do? You know, you can go throughout your day and just throughout the day now and then just make some confessions of healing over your body or over somebody else if you're interceding for another person. You can do that. Didn't Jesus do that from a distance and people got healed? Sure he did. But consistency is the key. It's the absolute key. You do it for a few minutes today, and then you don't do it for another 3 months. I mean, seriously, guys. You know, it's not God's fault, and it's sure not the Word's fault. Consistency is the key. The battle is being fought on two fronts. Number one, it's the affliction, whatever it is. And number two, it's the unbelief. Those are the two battles that we are fighting. Hey, you think Satan... Hey, come on. Do you honestly think Satan has the power to negate the Word of God when it comes to healing? You really think that? No, you don't. Well, I mean, I hope you don't. So the problem is not with Satan, other than he lies. The problem is what we're addressing in our body and unbelief. That's the dual battlefront for every believer right there. Now, the other day, I don't remember which service it was, which message, but what I did was put together just a short little confession, and I pulled parts of the following verses. Psalm 91, 9 through 10, Psalm 103, 1 through 3, Psalm 68, 19, Psalm 107, 20, Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, Isaiah 53, 4 through 5, and 1 Peter 2, 24, Matthew 9, 35, and Matthew 15, 29 through 31. And here's a confession. Here's a confession. This is not the gold standard. This is a way. This is authority being released, but it is also a royal decree. This, what I'm getting ready to read to you, you are going to hear, and I'm not trying to be funny here. You're getting ready to hear the voice of a king decreeing a thing that is supposed to come to pass. Lord, you are the Most High God. I bless you with all my soul and all that is within me. I am daily loaded with benefits, and I do not forget any of them. I am forgiven of all sins, and I am healed of all sickness and disease. God sent His Word and healed me and delivered me from all destruction. I do not let God's words depart from my eyes, and I keep them in the midst of my heart. They are constantly ministering life and health to my entire body. Jesus bore my griefs and carried my sorrows. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him, and by His stripes I was healed. Jesus healed me of every sickness and every disease. Every part of my body functions the way it should. My body is healed. My mind is healed. My body and mind are made totally and completely whole. I am a king, and I just made a decree to lying devils and to my body. Now, what you can do is you can specify, if you're battling a specific physical whatever, something, put it in there. Put it, God has healed me of, okay, nearsightedness. Eyes, you are healed of nearsightedness. You are a subject unto me. I am the king, appointed by the King of Kings to exercise authority. You are in rebellion until the healing manifests. Obey the word of your king. Now, some people might think, well, that's a little over the top. If you want to believe that, you go right ahead. These are principles of God's word. And see, this is it just takes this whole aspect of confession to a different level, to a higher level. It just adds more to the concept of the understanding of it. But these are truths, if you will, as far as our healing is concerned when it comes to confessing the Word of God. Now, there's more that we're going to see in this whole issue of confession. I don't know if I'll be teaching on it this coming Wednesday or next Sunday. I don't know yet. I'm just going to wait on the Lord and see. But guys, this isn't going to happen until I change what I do. Meaning, I have to sow more word. I just have to. Because that's where it starts. And that truth is the same for every single one of us. We have to sow more word. Hey, you know, you could listen to the word, you know, the recordings of somebody reading the Bible. You could actually sit and listen to that while you're watching a football game. Just turn the volume down on the TV.
Yes, but that'll be kind of distracting.
Yes, I agree with you. But it's okay to watch a football game. But this is how you can redeem some of that time. Pray in the Spirit while you're listening and watching. I mean, hey, you know, take advantage of this. And I'm not, that's not a decree from the Lord. I'm just throwing things out, okay? You know, I want to see us get to the place. All right. Remember in Scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, people looked for Jesus where he was. And they went to him where he was to be healed. Now, some of them went, you know, there wasn't anything wrong with them, but they went to hear the teaching. And some showed up, you know, hey, are we going to get more loaves and fish? But a lot of people showed up to get healed, and some people brought folks with them that needed healing. Do you realize it's possible for that same thing to happen here? To where people bring the sick and afflicted to be healed. You say, well, what if they don't stay? I mean, what if they get healed and, you know, go back? You know what? Out of all those people that Jesus healed, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them were saying, crucify him. I wouldn't be surprised. You know what? We can't control their lives. If they come for healing, then bless God, we minister healing to them. And what they do from that point on, that is between them and God. We'll be here to help as we can. We'll be here to nurture and disciple as much as they allow. But it's possible for us, I don't mean just me, I mean us, as believers, to get to the place to where we minister to people about healing, and healing manifests in their bodies. And word will get out. You know, hey, weren't you one of your crutches? I mean, yesterday you had to, well, I got healed. Well, how'd you do? What'd the doctor do? The doctor didn't do anything, man. They had a church service down there. You know, Joe over there, you know, in aisle 24 in his cube. Remember him? He always listened to that Christian music and stuff. Well, he invited me to his church and said they'd pray for the healing of sick and injured and all. So I went with him. I mean, what he had to lose. And, you know, they prayed for me and I got healed. I mean, look at me. Look, I got totally and completely healed. Well, you know, I got a daughter and she's been battling. You think I could take her? Hey, you might as well. I mean, worst thing that can happen is she won't get healed, but you might as well take her. I mean, I got healed. Here's the address of the church. Go talk to Joe, man. Go talk to him. He might even pray now or something. I don't know. They said something about prayer clause. I don't understand all that. All I know is this. I got healed. Why is that so far-fetched? Unbelief tells us, I don't know about that. The Word of God says, O ye of little faith. I don't want to be little faith man. I want to be with you in a place of seeing people get healed. Remember, for yourself, your body is your subject. You're a king in a district of the kingdom, and your body lives in your district. You are the boss.